This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit HisWayOut.com.
Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, "Once gay, always gay." How do you respond? "My child just told me he's gay. What can I do?" What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Special in that I am being joined by a friend, ministry colleague of many years, founder and director of Know His Love Ministries, and author of a dynamic book titled Line by Line, A Biblical Analysis of Guiding Families of LGBT plus Loved Ones. My special guest once again is Wayne Blakely. Wayne, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Pastor Philip. It's nice to be back. Thank you.
You are a busy guy, and especially lately, because you have just recently, not that long ago, returned from Europe, correct?
Yes, I had a four-month tour there. Unfortunately, it got interrupted about 2 months into it with a back injury, so I'm back home, but healing from that.
Praise God. You are doing well with regard to coming along with a back problem?
I am, and that has to be by God's grace, I'm sure.
I'd love to hear, how did it come about your being in Europe and for such an extended period?
Ah, interesting. Well, you know, I have some friends that are not Christian that I met on a vacation once, and they, in Switzerland, they wanted me very much. We were in the South Pacific when we met, and we struck up a friendship, and so they wanted me to come visit them, and with the COVID stuff kind of settling down, I said, hey, I have an opportunity, I think, to come. And then I put the word out to a couple of people I knew in ministry, and those people actually generated a lot of interest that ended up putting together a four-month speaking tour throughout Europe.
And your tour over there would have been much longer except for the interruption because of a back injury?
Yes.
Wow. So what countries in Europe did you actually visit?
So I managed to get to Poland and to Sweden and to Germany.
Wow. I have been to Germany myself. Beautiful, beautiful country. I remember remember a very, very special time of ministry over there. How did you find the European churches with regard to discussing change regarding same-sex attraction? I mean, for all of our listeners, please be aware that for Wayne and myself, the subject matter of homosexuality, for us, it's not just professional, it's personal. So again, Wayne, I'd love to hear how receptive was your ministry over there in these particular European countries?
Well, it's very complex around the world. We'd have to embark upon the meaning of the word change. And I would want to say right off the bat to anybody who just maybe switched to this channel and is hearing this, you may not believe or think the same way, but let's remember as the freedoms of America has preserved us in being able to have human rights, freedom of thinking, and religious freedom. And those are coming under strong attack today by the LGBT narrative that says there's only one way to think. And the change is often connected to conversion therapy. And the interesting thing about the definition on conversion therapy. There is no definite definition except for the one that the LGBT community is giving. And it used to be that it would be like shock therapy, immersion into ice cold baths, needle pricking, all these kinds of crazy things that, by the way, were done not by Christians but by secular psychologists before homosexuality was removed from the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. But today, in 14 countries around the world where it is considered criminal, the LGBT community has managed to do this through legislation that now even praying with somebody who desires to leave the LGBT community is criminal and punishable in Canada by 5 years in prison, 10 years in Victoria, Australia, 8 years in Norway. So it used to be that Europe was a little more advanced in their socialization and preservation as it relates to gay rights movements. But now I would say the U.S. and Europe are just neck and neck because the narrative is the same around the world. There's really nothing that is any more severe there or here. In fact, in my own church, which is Seventh-day Adventist, most of those places is where I was going to speak. That's what my network has been. When I first went into, about a month before I got there, the Adventist Swedish Union came out against me in the papers because they said that I did not agree with the church and they didn't agree with me. And I was like, I was confused because there is no statement in the church. In fact, our church teaches the same as many denominations, scripturally, that everywhere homosexuality is mentioned in God's Word, it is in a negative connotation. And so it was peculiar to have the Swedish Union come out against me. And then two local churches where I was going to speak, they also came out in the papers against me as well. When the meeting actually took place, which was at a private venue, of which the owner of that venue got threats for having me speak there, and the private couple that had me speak there, they invited the entire community. So there were like 40 non-Adventists that came who said they were very blessed by what they heard, and they said, why is your denomination against you? Because this information was so good and is so needed. And so it kind of, all the backlash, I mean, it backfired on the Swedish Union and others who were saying that, you know, this was a terrible thing. It was also attended by two lesbians. It was open, you know, we knew that there were going to be people coming. They caused a little commotion with a public display of affection, and I made a comment and said, I can see, you know, that you have this love for each other, and what I'm sharing today has to do with the belief in Scripture, not so much in culture. I welcome you being here. When I did finally get to talk about conversion therapy, which was in my last presentation, I began to talk about the definition and how it's been estranged and how many people have thought many different things, and that anything that will cause anyone personal or a physical harm would not be approved of and is criminal already here in the United States or anywhere else that I know of. And so they, at that time, got up and went to leave and yelled back at me, murderer, and then yelled it real loud again and slammed the door. And I think by saying that, there's this idea from LGBT culture that the believer, the Christian, is bringing by their beliefs, is making somebody who doesn't believe that way or somebody who may be struggling with LGBT ideations, it is making them think of suicide. And so we are the cause of somebody taking their life. When you and I know very well that doesn't come from Jesus. Jesus is about the preservation of life and the joy in Jesus and the peace that comes in Jesus. It's the accuser of Jesus and of truth that is taking people, regardless whether it's LGBT or otherwise, spiraling them into self-pity and self-destructive things.
Yes, yes. Wayne, can I ask you, going a little bit deeper with regard to change, I know many people assume that when we start talking about change regarding same-sex attraction, we're talking about the individual moving completely to the other side, to opposite-sex attraction. Now, that has happened in the lives of some men and women, but not all. Mm-hmm. But yes, the quantum leap is often made that that is, if that doesn't happen in the life of a man or a woman, then change simply is not possible. But with regard to change, there's all kinds of change. First and foremost, the greatest change any of us can experience is to know that we are born again, that our ultimate destination has been changed from hell to heaven. Would you agree?
I do. I don't have the power to make somebody heterosexual. And in, through Scripture, you know, we see that that is from a sexual relationship, that would be the one that God approves of. But there are many people in the Bible that didn't marry, and so God is looking for a conversion of the heart.
Yes.
And then also throughout Scripture, we're called to deny ourselves and deny the flesh and sensuality for Christ. Well, today, so many people believe that if you, you know, it's yourself, your truth, your sexuality, when sexuality doesn't really belong to us. It's a gift from God of intimacy between one man and one woman throughout Scripture. If you don't believe this way, it's okay. You can go, you know, just go your direction and do what you want. I don't tell a Buddhist they can't be a Buddhist or a Muslim they can't be a Muslim. And so why should a Christian, a believer, be told that they can't be a Christian? If you don't partake in the truth message that's throughout Scripture, you do have that choice. But let's preserve the power of choice.
Absolutely. And we all have a choice because God's given us free will choice. So ultimately, the ball is on our court in terms of how we want to live our lives. I'm wondering also with regard to the European churches versus American churches regarding the topic of same-sex attraction. Did you see any comparisons, or are they very, very different, European versus American?
To be honest with you, Pastor Philip, I still today I believe that congregational members are sitting there in somewhat of a stupor, a bit of a daze, when it comes down to, you know, homosexuality and LGBT. They can't even figure out, as we probably can't even figure out most of the time, all the letters that are being added to that acronym. And then they're wondering, how are we supposed to believe as a church? And many ministers don't even know where to go on this, which is why I wrote the book, Line by Line, the analysis of the Guiding Families book written by Bill Henson, who himself lived in LGBT culture, but promotes the idea of what's called a posture shift. You can look for posture shift ministry, and that's what he does today. Well, the word posture, or the phrase posture shift, to me means a repositioning, and that's really what he's after. And people who are buying into this book and into this idea that we really set our own truths, what my truth is may be different than your truth, but that we owe it to everybody just to live in their own truth. And so the church needs to reposition itself to allowing people to, you know, if you have a monogamous same-sex relationship, far be it from God or the Bible to tell you that that is something that is not acceptable in God's eyes, because the general, and I do say general, idea without even much search into the Bible is that we just need to love one another, and that's a redefinition of the term love, because the pure love, the author of love, is Christ himself.
Yes.
So there's a great deal of confusion as it relates to this topic, and so getting into a church is even difficult. You know, even in my own denomination, it's far and few between to have the conversation. But we need to start on the basis of what happened in heaven, the war in heaven that took place, Satan or Lucifer at the time telling angels that they were holy beings and they needed to follow the dictates of their own will. So they fall to earth, and now they're trying to do the very same thing to you and I, is to tell us that our will supersedes anything that God or humanity or anybody else will tell us. But once we see what the problem is and how it came about through Lucifer, and we see that we're sitting ducks, then a person can then begin to explore Scripture and to see what is it that God is asking of me, and we need to invite the Holy Spirit in to soften and to break our hearts, that we would let go of the things that come natural to us and seek to live for Christ instead of for our flesh.
Absolutely. And what I'm hearing you say, too, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I have long been teaching and preaching that really, with regard to homosexuality, is it a point of concern? Absolutely, has been for many years, is today, and no doubt will continue to be for some time. But I would submit the greater concern, if not crisis, is the lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture. And I'm hearing you share, once again, I've heard from many others, that many Christian men and women, regardless of their denomination affiliation, on this subject matter, there's such confusion because they simply are not being taught.
Exactly.
And I constantly find myself scratching my head going, why is this happening? Because as ministers of the gospel, we are under command and authority to teach the entire Word of God, not just portions of it. But today, on this subject matter, and certainly there are others, it is, I think, sometimes conveniently being dismissed and ignored. Would you agree?
I do. I think that not on just this topic, but many others, that people, you know, we have hear this term, don't judge me. As soon as I hear somebody say that, I know that they're going about protecting a sin or a cherished habit or something that they don't wish to bring before God and say, I want to give this up, or I need to give this up. Would you give me help? Give me strength. But instead, people are looking for ways to protect those things, and so we need to come together under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If we're really seeking Christ rather than a cultural adaptation of just being churchgoers and not opening the Bible between, you know, one week and the next, but we need to come together and pray for the healing that is promised, that James 5:16, you know, tells us of. And now that pretty much all of prophecy has been fulfilled except for these last final days, and that's when we're living, the enemy is very upset. He knows his days are short, and he's going to be on the rampage to take and claim people to be his rather than being, you know, children of God.
Seems to me that we had moved so far away from the perfect role model of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that Jesus himself did challenge and he did confront people, but he always did so with an equal balance of both truth and grace. And I continue to find on the subject matter of homosexuality, there is such an over-concern, an exaggeration, if you will, of possibly hurting someone's feelings that it's, again, just completely dismissed and swept under the carpet. And there, again, leaves many, many Christian men and women wondering, who's right on this? Well, we've got to bring it back to, what does the Bible say? And the Bible's abundantly clear, I believe, on this, both Old Testament and New Testament, that homosexual practice in God's eyes is just one behavior that God says, don't go there, don't practice that. There are many others. I'm not just singling this out. But when you have men and women trying to lift it to a point that even God's okay with it and has a blessing to Christianity, that's a direct contradiction of Scripture, and now we have a problem.
Yes, yes. You know, Pastor Philip, the hurt and the pain is actually appropriate in the sense that when we come in contact with something, you know, what's natural to us is the stain of sin on us, and so we're drawn to those things that are put before us that Satan uses to draw us away from Christ. When we all have the spirit of truth in us unless we grieve it away. And so when somebody is very upset or hurt or feeling bad because they think that they're not living the way that God intended, well, that's a trigger to not dive into self and to become so discouraged, but to come to Christ for the encouragement and for the promises that he has. I would say, and you've heard me say before on this program, coming to Christ doesn't make you some goody-two-shoe perfect person. Even as we come to Christ, we still have areas of sin in our life that we fight. Many times there's relapse for someone who has lived as LGBT. Unfortunately, our brothers and sisters in the church will abandon or cast people to the side. And what we need to do is embrace them and walk with them on this journey, always holding out to them that victory is possible through Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. We've got to bring it back to, again, what has God said on this subject matter and many, many others. With him, all things are possible. You and I speak to the whole subject matter of same-sex attraction, both professionally and personally. And, you know, listening to what you're sharing with us today on the broadcast, I'm recalling that in 1985, when I surrendered my life to Christ, there were well-meaning Christians who came my way that said some things that were, well, let me just say it plainly, it was very hard to hear, but I believe they had my best interests at heart. But they took some chances, they took some risk, and I'm glad they did. They held me to a line of authority, the authority of the Word of God. Had they not, I don't know that you and I would be having this conversation right now. So again, my point earlier about people becoming so overly concerned about possibly hurting someone's feelings, well, I understand that, and we want to be sensitive to that, but not at the expense of forsaking truth.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Because God brings about healing and hope, and that's why if someone is hurt or pained, that's what the church family, the church body is there for, is to help bring healing from that. Because when you recognize that your identity is not in your flesh, but in Jesus Christ, I would hope that the person who is got their feelings hurt would take a moment to discover what it is that Jesus has to offer them, because he gives you an identity of becoming a new creature in Jesus Christ, and it is an identity that you can hang on to for eternity, where what the devil is offering, which he does through deception, just like he did with Adam and Eve at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, as they fell into his trap. I ask people in audiences today, can Satan make you happy? And many start shaking their heads no. Well, he can make you very happy for a period of time, but there are consequences for believing his ways over those of God himself.
Indeed. Sin is fun for a season. Defined season. It varies from person to person. 5 years, 10 years, 25 years. Mm-hmm. Again, mm-hmm. It depends on the circumstances and the individual. But on this whole subject matter, in terms of same-sex attraction, heaven knows many have been ensnared and led down a path of destruction that ultimately led to a lot of heartache. But thank God, God is still merciful and there and holds out his arms, his loving arms, that we can experience Amen. Change in our lives. So, again, would you say that with regard to European churches versus American churches, or maybe we should say European Christians and American Christians, did you find or do you find that in terms of defining change, we're pretty much the same in our definition?
Yeah, well, there, as is happening more and more in America, I would say that I found in Europe a little more advancement in this sense, that there are so few that are willing to talk about it, and you have to go off even into some private groups. In two situations, a public venue was rented in order to bring together people who are like-minded. And these are people who are students of Scripture and who believe that the Bible means what it says. And those people would come together, and they are very interested, many of them not having an experience with same-sex attraction, but perhaps knowing somebody in their family that does. They ask so many questions, and the Q&A is probably the most valued for many of all the presentations. They just want to know how to practically apply Christianity in lives that they're close to. And I always want to confirm that we have a great love and care for those who identify as LGBT, just as we would a non-believer that's heterosexual. If you come to Christ and you open his word and start studying, then, you know, things are going to change for anyone who is making that search. But at large, we respect is what's greatly needed, and that's respect for each other as human beings, being able to invite a gay couple into your home, have dinner with them, go on hikes, do whatever you can to develop a meaningful relationship. And I pray that a Christian would be able to present themselves as a business card for Christ, and that the LGBT couple or LGBT person may say, there's something about you that's remarkable. You have a peace. You have a joy. There's something radiant about you. What is it? Because I want what you have.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Well said. We are nearing our time in terms of the length of this broadcast. So before we do run out of time, Wayne, I'm going to give you an opportunity. How are things going here in the States with regard to Know His Love Ministries? You, as the founder and director, how are things going?
Well, they're going well, although, you know, as it relates to this topic, the speaking schedule isn't that stacked. It takes today a lot of confidence for a pastor to reach out and make an invitation because he's going to fall under great scrutiny by his congregation or even the public. As they find out about these things. But, you know, God's work is going to be completed, and Jesus has overcome the enemy, so he will always provide a way, and I'm happy to still be able to speak without persecution so far. That hasn't landed me in jail.
Yes.
But I believe that's quite possible one day.
Well, with regard to Know His Love Ministries, what is your website address?
Knowhislove.org.
Once again, please.
Know His Love. So it's KNOW, like Get to Know Christ. Knowhislove.org. And there's articles there. There are presentations there. You can also order the book, Line by Line, A Biblical Analysis of Guiding Families of LGBT Loved Ones. That book has been written for multiple denominations, so it wasn't written just for Adventists. So the review would apply to any denomination.
And for all of those listening to the program today, if you do not have a copy of Wayne's book, please obtain a copy because it's a wonderful resource. You'll need it for your library. Wayne, always a pleasure to have you on the broadcast. I wish we had more time. Maybe we can get together again in the near future.
5 minutes.
I know. It goes by really, really fast. How about closing us in prayer? How about us praying and agreeing in prayer with regard to the church, because we know and we agree that God's church remains his vehicle to reach a wounded, broken, hurting humanity. That includes those struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction. Would you please pray for us, please?
Certainly. Lord Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for life today, and I'm grateful for the blueprint that you gave us for all time. And that's from Genesis to Revelation, Lord, and it applies to anyone suffering from any problem, LGBT or otherwise, but I thank you that you have the answers and solutions for sin. And I pray that you will help our leaders, our pastors in all denominations today to find that the truth and the love of Jesus is still grounded in his word rather than in society and a cultural adaptation that is often heavily influenced by the arch enemy of Christ. Lord, keep us in faith, strong faith in Jesus, to hang on to you, not to our feelings, but to the truths that you have provided us, the promises throughout your word that we can hang on to. And I pray that for the person who does identify as LGBT, but knows that there's got to be something more than the culture that doesn't offer eternal life or a permanent happiness, I pray that you will help us guide each and every one, Lord, to the happiness that is forever in Jesus Christ. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Amen. Well, my friend, thanks once again for being on the broadcast. Always appreciate what you bring to the discussion. Keep giving them heaven.
Amen.
All right. To all of our listeners, once again, thanks for tuning in. I hope you'll join me again next week, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.
This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit HisWayOut.com.